We're back.
We're here.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow, wow, wow. I didn't even do an intro yet.
No, listen.
What a bad guest I am already.
No, listen. No. I'm loving the energy. I'm loving the enthusiasm.
This is Ketchup Queens with Lauren and Amber.
We're excited today to have on Ketchup Queens a guest from the Palouse.
Wait, from the what?
So the Palouse is like this area where we live. It encompasses a few different towns, but I don't know. The rolling hills of the Palouse? I don't know how to describe it.
You're asking the wrong person, man. I'm from...
What? You live here. You've lived here like your whole life. Well, okay, not...
My whole life? Okay.
Well, I know you live in Lewiston,
but... I mean, if you want to say my whole life is as in a measure of 3 years, then yes, I would agree. But, I mean... Lewiston is a bowl. It's a valley.
Well, yeah.
Physically and mentally, because it traps you physically and mentally. Anyway.
Okay. Anyway. So, real, yeah, the Palouse is just, yeah, it's just like this region. But anyway, we are off track. This is Ketchup Queens, by the way.
Hello. How are you?
I am.
Welcome to Ketchup Queens.
Oh, wow. Wow. We've got accents.
In Soviet Russia.
Okay.
Queens, ketchup to you.
Okay.
Or would you prefer some David Attenborough to start off your morning?
Oh my god. How many of these are we going to have?
Today we see our queens in their natural environment.
Okay.
Grilling some poor sod on the nuances of pop culture. And doing it oh so fashionably. Only on BBC.
Wow. Oh, if only. I'd love to be on BBC.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm one of your co-hosts, Amber. We're here with Lauren as well. Hello, Lauren.
Hello. I'm stunned by the Attenborough.
Welcome, Garrison.
Thank you.
This is my friend and drum teacher. Mm-hmm. Yes, I am taking the drums.
/ other adult who has changed Leo's diapers.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. We did meet at Leo's daycare. So, very good teacher. Teacher Garrison is mentioned a lot in this household. A teacher in many respects. But yeah, we're excited to have you on. Mm-hmm. Garrison has listened to every single episode of Ketchup Queens.
Multiple
times.
That's insane. Yeah, it's insane to me. Yeah. It's insane when someone listens to one episode. To be
exactly.
Well, it's like, I mean, I just remember the day when you came for one of your lessons and you were wearing your Ketchup Queens shirt, and I'm like, what? Like, WTF is that? Mm-hmm. To me, it looked like some advertisement for like a 50s themed diner. It just looked so, you know, in that style. And then it was followed by pleas of, Garrison, please don't go listen to my stupid pop
please
culture
don't,
podcast.
Please don't, Amber.
And to which I said, Amber, you're not making me want to do this any less by saying it like
that. Here's the thing. This was early in our friendship. I didn't think this was necessarily your vibe. I'm not going to lie.
No, which is 100% fair. I mean.
Yeah.
You know,
you
had seen what kind of music I play.
Yes.
And just, you know, everything that is me. And I could see how something like this wouldn't really fit in that wheelhouse.
Yeah,
and exactly. Little did you know.
I know.
Little did you know.
Here we are. Number one fan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. I have a game to start us off.
I've been looking forward to this. I know nothing about this, and I've been looking forward to this.
He was not prepped. It's not rigged.
I was only told there would be something. I was told nothing about what that something would be.
So. Okay. So the game is called, drum roll please. Name that drummer. Based on the titillating gossip about their personal life.
That's so good.
Yes, okay.
So, I'm not saying anything about their talent or their ability to drum or the band or anything. It's only based on a factoid about their personal life.
Shoot, I'm here for it.
Okay, we'll see if you know these. Actually, we'll start with a easy one.
Okay.
Okay. Lauren, if you know this too, feel free to chime in.
Okay, I'll let Garrison go first.
You will probably know more than I will, but we'll see how this goes.
So this one is easy. This is a given. This is a gimme. This drummer is widely known for his strong resemblance to actor and comedian Will Ferrell, who is almost 6 years younger, which he has acknowledged by wearing shirts reading, I am not Will Ferrell, in live performances.
Chad Smith.
Chad Smith. Wow. Couldn't wait to get that one out. So Chad Smith is the drummer for...
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Okay, yeah. And they've done like...
Or when I saw them at Flannel Fest, the Red Not Chili Peppers. Great tribute band.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. No, that's really good. Okay, nice. Ding, ding, ding. That was correct. Okay, another one that's a little harder. Mm-hmm. Okay. This drummer's ex-wife described their time together as extremely traumatic, awful, and horrible. She also said this drummer could be best summed up as follows. He's so great at doing impersonations, but the greatest impersonation he does is that of a normal person.
I know it.
Go ahead.
It's Fred Armisen.
Who does he even play for?
Okay, he's the drummer for Late Night with Stephen Colbert.
Okay. See, the only late night drummer I know is Questlove. So
yeah, which is why I was like, you might know.
So he's the one in the cowboy hat.
Does he wear a cowboy hat?
Yeah, Stephen Colbert's drummer. Yeah,
no,
doesn't sound like him.
Is he
a nude Stephen Colbert drummer, or is he?
No, he. To be fair, uh-huh. He has done a lot. Like he's done Portlandia. Like he does sketch comedy. First and foremost.
Okay.
So I think he's mostly known as a comedian, would you say?
Yeah, but his most recent comedy special is like tied with drums. It's like drumming is the basis of that comedy special. I haven't seen it, but...
Kind of like, have you seen the, I don't really know what you call it, but it was the Mr. Bean performance where he like mock drums... Like, he's got, like, this huge drum set that, like, fills up the whole stage.
Yes,
but, of course,
that.
You know, it's not there. But he's just got his act, like, so well synced up to this recording that he just, like, just kind of mimes this whole drum solo. And it's, oh, chef's kiss.
Yes, I've seen that. I've seen that one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very similar. Although, this one is more, like, Fred is showing... He's like basically cracking jokes for drummers. Like the audience members are drummers or in a band, and so they get it. You know, he jokes about like when you're setting up and you're kind of like tinking around on the kit, like trying to get things tuned or whatever.
Or everyone else is trying to tune and you can't bring yourself to shut it. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
I'm in touch with these emotions.
Okay,
I'm
great.
In touch with these.
Okay, great.
Okay, sorry.
Okay, here's another one.
I derailed. Go ahead.
Okay. In a June 2011 interview, this drummer revealed that he was going deaf in his left ear due to decades of performing on stage. During his appearance on the Howard Stern Show in February 2022, he stated that he suffers from hearing loss and that this has an impact on both his daily life and life as a musician. His tinnitus has forced him to read lips for about 20 years. Which became more difficult when people began wearing face masks during the COVID-19 pandemic.
That little detail.
I picked this one.
Is it Sugarfoot Moffat?
No.
Not Michael Jackson's drummer?
No.
I feel like I've seen
this. I mean, how many drummers have tinnitus? All of them, probably. However.
I mean, once you hit a certain age.
The factoid that he's been reading lips for 20 years, I couldn't get over.
As a drummer, it's pretty ridiculous. I don't know.
It's Dave Grohl.
That's what I was going to guess. I was about to say.
You're kidding. No, that's fair.
Okay. No, I will say this because Dave Grohl takes the like negligent body care of being a drummer to the extreme. Like this guy, if he didn't have drum mics, he would just hit as hard, you know, to make it seem like he had drum mics. I mean, that guy, that doesn't surprise me, but I didn't know that.
Yeah. I saw him perform live on something and I was like, he sounds kind of out of tune. His vocals.
He's still
an amazing drummer, but I think it was this interview that I read that he like admits that he has tinnitus. I don't know. And so like probably can't hear very good. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What did you think Dave Grohl, Lauren?
I don't know how this stuff seeps into my brain, but I was just like, it's a Foo Fighters thing. Where the info comes from, we don't know.
It's just the magic.
It's dark magic.
Yeah.
Yes.
A band full of folks that are just famously loud.
Yeah,
on and off the stage.
Well, and I think sometimes I may have seen the Howard Stern thing because occasionally I watch that because I find him so jarring and awful that I'm like, let's see what he asks a guest next. Because he'll just be like, did you banger or something? And I'm like, holy shit! Like no sugarcoating that. So maybe I saw it. I don't know.
Yeah. Howard Stern likes to throw people for a curve with those questions. It's like, is it decorum? Is it decorum? No, it's just Howard Stern.
Right.
This is how he does. Anyway, okay. So yeah, do you have more?
Yes, I have. Okay. I have two more.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, this drummer is a woman. That's it.
Stop! Come on,
Sheila E. Sheila E. Is it Sheila E?
No.
Sheila E. Wait, that name is so familiar.
Is it Lenny Kravitz's drummer?
Yes!
Whatever her name is. What's her name?
Her name is Cindy Blackman.
Cindy Blackman. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, because I know Sheila E. drummed for Prince. All I knew was that Lenny Kravitz had a female drummer.
Yes.
I didn't know her name. Cool. Now I do.
Yes. Which I put a new song by Lenny Kravitz on your playlist, Lauren.
Oh, okay.
He has a new song?
He has a new song, and it's like kind of like a club. Like the beginning sounds like a very slowed down version of maybe, I don't know, like a Jason Derulo something. I don't know. I was confused why, but he's singing with, I think, maybe his new partner, like his new girlfriend or something. Mm-hmm. And it's like a love, like, you're so great or whatever. I don't know.
I'm just intrigued to hear that there's new Lenny Kravitz.
Yes.
I never thought he was going to come out with anything else.
Yes. Okay. This is the last one.
Okay.
Okay. So this drummer is married to Chriselle from Selling Sunset.
From Selling Sunset? What,
yeah.
What is Selling
Let
Sunset?
Let me guess it. I'm chomping at the bit here.
Okay, Lauren, please.
This is who I was going to guess on the last question. It's G-Flip.
It's G-Flip. Yes.
Who is G? See, this is the thing, man. I mean, pop culture is now seeped into the music world.
This is actually very fascinating. Yeah,
this is actually very fascinating.
Because Selling Sunset is a reality TV show about real estate agents selling like multi-million-dollar homes in Orange County,
Beverly Hills, LA.
Beverly Hills, yeah, like LA area. And it got very popular, I don't know why, just because of the ridiculousness of the situation, I guess. But one of the very, very, well, they're all attractive, but one of the haughty real estate agents, Chriselle, started dating G-Flip, who is non-binary, and they got married. And it was kind of shocking because I think this was Chriselle's first venture into like dating a non-binary person, not a man, basically. Mm. So I saw something on Entertainment Tonight that she's still like in interviews. People are like, so G-Flip. And she's just like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, this is my partner. I don't know what to say. Like, what else is there to say?
Yeah.
Like, let's stop talking about this.
Yeah.
But anyway, that was like, And G-Flip is a drummer who also sings their music.
He's Australian.
Mad respect.
Australian.
Mad respect.
Yes.
Uses the C word like a comma.
So. And I think they have a undercut too, like you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So,
G-Flip.
G-Flip. The other day I had a trucker hat on. I'm trying that out as a new old look, you know, bringing it back from the 2000s. And I had these pigtails and I texted my friend, I look like G-Flip. So I'll see if I can scrounge it up and do side by side.
Please do.
You know what that makes me think of? Just that whole look in general, going back to the Foo Fighters for a second. Have you seen the music video for, it's not Body Language. That's a Queen song. But it's kind of a spoof on Body Language by Queen. Basically, you've got all four members of the Foo Fighters dancing naked inside like a truck stop bathroom. Except they're all wearing like these kind of pigtail braid wigs with trucker hats on.
What? No, yes, Amber? Yes, Amber, have you ever heard of it?
This is not ringing any bells.
I feel like this is going to kill this look for me.
Listen, Foo Fighters are silly.
They are silly.
They were, when they were on SNL, they were like Dave was all up in the skits.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the host? I can't remember. Like, it was very recent, Lauren. I think you and I were watching it, maybe. It wasn't Tim Cham. That was Boy Genius.
Have you now adopted Tim Cham into your lexicon? I love that.
Of course. Yeah, I can't remember. But they, like, Dave Grohl especially was like in a lot of the skits too. Yeah. I know they don't always do that. I guess Boy Genius did it some.
I think we might have tied because Garrison knew the drums and I knew the pop culture.
Yeah. Yeah.
He wants to talk more about like the local music scene.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about it.
Because I had talked to Lauren the other day about how funny it was just hearing some of your guests talk about, like, I think like Skylar did his, I don't know if you would call it like chaperoning for some local acts who came through WSU.
Yes.
And it's just funny to hear, you know, from a lot of your guests who have kind of had this backstage experience with the whole celebrity thing.
Yes.
And I'm just sitting here being like, okay, I know people in, like, you know, the local music scene who are kind of that way too, which means that this level of ego exists on all levels. But unfortunately, these people don't have anything resembling a publicist to really keep their egos in check.
Oh, no.
You know, they just surround themselves by yes men and enablers. and you know, and we the poor sods who have to deal with it. There was a band, so about 3 or 4 years ago, I was helping my friend Carl run a festival. It's called Weedstock.
Weedstock.
Yeah. Viva La Washington, baby.
Oh, yeah.
And so this band that came and played, Bombshell Molly, I think was their name. Oh, name drop.
I know. Anyway. Are we outing them for their bad behavior? I'm fascinated.
Oh, no, I mean.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I haven't been on their radar in years. but their vocalist is just such a diva. And when you come, so, like, you know, when you request something to be backstage for you, you know, a reasonable person would ask for something like, you know, a cooler of water or,
yes,
you know, some, you know, just something like that. This guy is like, no, we want non-alcoholic craft beer from this specific brewery. And we want, you know, like, you know, a fruit basket with like these specific fruit. It was just like this weird long laundry list of stuff that they just had to have backstage.
Which I'm like, how many types of non-alcoholic beer are there? You know what I mean? Like, there's, I thought O'Doul's was like it, right? I mean, I'm no expert, but...
I'm proud to say I know nothing about non-alcoholic
beer. He's proud to say. Wait, sorry, the front runner is a man or a woman? I feel like you said he the last time. Oh, okay. Maybe the he, Molly. The Molly threw me off. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's true. I guess it sounds like it should be a female-fronted band, huh?
And then anyway. Diva, I pictured a woman. Okay.
Whatever the diva equivalent of a male is.
Well, a diva is a female version of a hustler.
Morin?
So we could say he was a hustler.
Okay. So this is why I have you guys for the
references. Yeah. Oh, wait, we got references at the wall.
Was the writer, was it followed? So explain more. Did you used to do backstage work too? Or like?
It wasn't so, well, okay. I did the poor man's version of that. Like, as I was working my way through college, I was doing any and all side gigs I could possibly find. And at that point, I was in the local music scene for like, maybe a year or two. And I just kind of developed a bit of a reputation of being the guy who, you know, will just like sit on drums if you just want to, you know, like go to a jam session that some of these bars will hold, and or like, you know, he'll fill in. But, you know, I was also the drummer who was like, you know, he'll also come weed your yard. He'll also come mow your lawn.
Yeah.
So through all this, I worked at the local music venue that we had there in town, and I would kind of, you know, like, either I would check IDs at the door or I would hang out by the front and just make sure that, you know, no one's shit got stolen. And through doing all this, it's weird. Lewiston is like this, is like this kind of outpost town where you've got Seattle, you know, like 5 hours to the west. You got Missoula 5 hours to the east. You got like Spokane 2 hours to the north. You got Boise like 6 hours to the south.
A lot of geography.
Whoa. And
that actually helped me, though.
And Lewiston just kind of... Well, yeah, exactly. It kind of gives you a point of reference. But Lewiston's this weird place where, you know, like bands who are kind of doing like a circuit around those cities, you can stop off in Lewiston and, you know, you can get just enough money to get yourself a hotel and some McDonald's for the night, you know, as you're on your way to Seattle or Missoula or wherever. And so, I mean, we had national acts that would come through, like I don't know if you know who Saving Abel is.
Sounds so familiar. Is it metal? Is it screamo?
It's because it's butt rock.
What is that? Butt rock, like Nickelback?
Yeah, yeah, like Nickelback, but maybe harder.
Harder.
Slightly okay. harder, you know.
Butt rock. There's okay. no funnier name.
Butt rock. Butt rock. Yeah, that's.
Yeah.
Maybe that's.
Is anyone
maybe that's
honored
a...
to be associated with that genre?
Is anyone... Why are they called butt rock? Man, they all just got cheeks. Man.
I mean, maybe. But, yeah.
A couple members of the cult came through at one point. It was like the cult, but half of the cult. I mean, I'm not a big cult fan, but, point is, big names have come through this place.
Yeah.
And I was there to see, to oversee their equipment. So, in doing this, you get a lot of egos that come through because there were, now granted, a lot of them were local bands, a lot of them were like PNW bands. And so they would come through, they would tour with each other. One of them would be opening for the other. And we had this one group that came through. I've told you this story.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a group called Silent Theory out of Moscow, actually, that was opening for a band called Windowpane out of Seattle, I believe. They had this guitar tech, this little twit of a guy. My God. I mean, the highest ego in this band was from their guitar tech. He was just this little... I mean, I hate to say it, he kind of looked like a more tan Timothy Chalamet. He really did. I didn't tell you that detail, but
no,
I mean,
you did not.
That was kind of what he looked like. That was kind of what he looked like.
Most important part of the story.
Because I remember the first time I saw Timothy Chalamet, I'm like, he looks like that little shit that guitar tech for that band that I worked for that one night. Anyway. And so,
Wait a minute. What is a guitar tech?
Yeah, I was gonna say, this is a full time position or
he
Yes.
I don't know.
Like, I'm going to tune
you up.
How
he justifies giving himself a paycheck. It's not a slouch by any means. It's like, tuning guitars, making sure that all the guitars are, off stage in their rack where they need to be so that the guitarist is ready. Because, I mean, some guitars, they go through like 5 or 6 guitars a night.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, granted, this guy keeps them in tune, makes sure they're all tuned up. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. And so, the entire night, he was just kind of doing this thing where he thought I was the one that was just kind of handling the whole shebang. I'm like, dude, I'm just here to make sure that, the gear doesn't get stolen. He's like complaining about, why is the sound doing this? Why are their mics doing that? Why are those people so close to the front of the stage? It's like, dude, they're like 4 feet away from the front of the stage. It's fine. And, even if they are, and it's like, we don't really have any bars there because, sometimes the people on stage like to interact with the crowd. It was just complain until finally he picked up this battery. So the opening band, I think they went like a minute or two over there, over their allotted time. And so he picks up like this little battery and throws it at the guitarist on stage, who looks over at him with this look of pure hatred on his face. And the guitar tech just kind of, gives the point to the watch, like, hey, time for you to get off, bud. And and of course, they finish their song, they do their thing. And the bassist had also seen this. And I gotta say, like, Silent Theory, that band is just stacked. I'm not saying they're stacked with good musicians. I'm just saying that like every single one of those members is, a specimen. They're just
stacked. Swole.
Swole, there we go.
Okay.
Yeah, swole theory. And I don't know why it's worth pointing out, but he also had like zero body hair. I think I told you that too.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Keanu Reeves when he first wakes up from his little Matrix pod in the Matrix.
Only you would make this reference.
Only I would make.
Yeah.
This reference.
Okay.
Anyway, so he was just that level of hairless and sweaty, I guess. And so after their set's over, he comes over to me because he thought I was the one that threw the battery. And granted, this guy's got like a good head on me. So he's like 6'6", 6'7". And so he comes over, places one hand on either one of my shoulders
and
was just like, did you throw this? And he just holds up the battery. He's like, did you throw this? And I just went, nope, shook my head, pointed at the guitar tech. It's like, nope, it was him. I'm getting paid like $15 an hour to watch your gear, man. This is not nearly worth me getting my jaw broken right now.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
And then cue this whole confrontation between the two of them, and it was Yeah, it was a night. But that was just one of many. I don't think I ever told you about the time when I was on stage and I had to jump out from behind my drum set.
Jump out from behind the drum set.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Like all there's this. Oh no, seriously. Well, because there's this great video of Nirvana back in the day when Kurt Cobain jumped into the crowd and immediately started getting assaulted by this guy. So he started like whacking him with his guitar.
Yeah.
And then
Dave Grohl
jumps over his drum set. I'm like, all right, I'm just gonna channel that Dave Grohl energy, and I just placed one foot on my bass drum and over I went. Well, because there was this guy that kept getting on stage and eventually he knocked over one of the monitors.
What?
Which is what people use to, you know, like hear.
Yeah.
Hear
It
was, God, yeah, it was bad. And there, somewhere out there, there's video evidence of this. Somewhere out there is video evidence of this.
Okay.
I need to find it.
Okay, wait a minute. So you took it upon yourself.
Uh-huh.
Behind your drum kit.
Well, I wasn't the only one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So your fellow bandmates were also dealing with the situation?
It was me. Actually, no. It was me and a crowd member. We basically, like she took one arm and I took the other. And we just hopped his ass out of there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what were your other, were they just like continuing to play? What was happening with the other bandmates?
They were continuing to play.
Did they continue to play when you left the drum set? Like when you jumped over the drums?
Yes.
They did? That is commitment.
It is commitment. But then when we took the guy outside, they stopped and they said, hey, let's hear it for blah, blah, blah.
Oh, wow.
And then,
okay.
Yeah, and then we restarted, you know, like at some point during the song. But anyway, yeah, it was, it was a whole thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it was just a fan, just like a drunk guy.
Really rowdy, really drunk. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Happens all the time.
I mean, wow.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. The shows I've been to of yours, everyone's very chill.
When you say the Palouse, you know, this is what I think of.
Oh, okay.
You know, like Palouse,
okay.
Earthworm, and you know, like the local scene. But I mean, when I think of, you know, like the local music scene that I was a part of, it's a little more rough and rowdy. Because I don't know. I'm sure a lot of Moscow shows could get kind of rowdy because of the blue collar crowd around here. I don't know. I mean, I hate to, you know, just put that kind of blanket over it, but just like Lewiston is a very blue collar crowd. But
when we went to see Third Eye Blind, things got pretty. No, I'm just kidding. Nothing happened at Third Eye Blind. It was the most tame of tame. Anyway, wow.
Mm-hmm. Trying to think of what else.
That's pretty intense.
Yeah.
Yeah. The musicians here, I recognize the same bands from playing at like the Moscow Farmers Market or like Tristan and Giant Palouse Earthworm. Like I notice the kind of the same names on flyers and stuff.
Yeah. Lewiston definitely had more of a diversity of bands down there. And that was the thing. Cause when, you know, like, I mean, when you had National Acts coming through, you know, it's like, if you're going to open for them, you know, you gotta be good.
Yeah. No, and, for sure.
I mean, yeah, there was a solid ring of bands that could usually be relied upon to put on a pretty good show down there.
Okay.
And not to say that up here that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just, it's a little more eclectic up here.
Okay.
You know.
No, that's
fair. Yeah, a lot more all-encompassing, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Down there it was more of an emphasis on just, like, straightforward rock.
Okay.
Yeah.
No buts.
Get those butts out of here.
Yeah, get the... Get your ass out of here.
Do you know the band Dad Bod at all?
No.
No, okay. I think it's more psychedelic. Anyway, my friend dated the bass player from that band.
I mean, you say psychedelic, that's right up my alley.
Oh, really? Yeah. Just, and when you're describing all the, like, Missoula, Boise, I'm like, I think they've done that kind of tour section, and I know they were at, was it Boise? It was somewhere in Idaho, which I don't really know Idaho well. I don't think it was like a Mormon-y area like Rexburg, but they had beer in their green room and somehow cops were called or something and they didn't get to play or they got kicked out. And I'm like, and they're all over 21. It wasn't underage drinking. It was simply, and I was like, wait, but how can you not? You can drink in your own room. So maybe it was, I don't know if you're familiar, that like Rexburg would be like Mormon, like BYU, Idaho. And I'm just like, that is mind blowing. So of course they're never going back to that part of Idaho again. But I'm just like, what are these Idaho shows like? I have a question/comment about just your festival thing. So there was a big festival I actually learned this year, not a festival girly, and that's okay. it's very overwhelming to me just spending the whole day in the sun and lines and such. Mm-hmm. But
sounds like you just haven't been to the right festival.
True. I wasn't super excited about anyone there. I was excited about one person, which is Caroline Polachek.
Love her.
Mm-hmm. Aside from that, the closer on the night I had tickets to was the Strokes, and that was like a really fascinating experience. So it was like very, it was like local band, cool, like, you know, trendy, whatever. I don't, can't think of the right word right now, but like very up and coming bands. And then the closer each night was kind of like older, like Yeah Yeah Yeahs was one night, Strokes was my night, and the other one was, oh, I'm blanking it, but like almost like 80s, 90s. And the Strokes chemistry was the most uncomfortable thing to watch. Like, they clearly just probably don't have any relationship at all, and it's like, well, this is gonna make us money, right? And so they almost had a passive aggressive thing going back and forth. And then the one time they tried to make it seem like they were friends and joking, the lead singer, what, Julian Casablancas, do you guys know who I'm talking about? He like used to be a total sex symbol, and now he's like very washed up. Like it all the whole thing was very bizarre to experience. So you would recognize him, but he was like making these weird sexual jokes to his bassist about like, oh yeah, like you're gonna suck me off after this, or so, he saying weird stuff where we're like the whole like this Jesus. Huge crowd was like, huh? And it was like raining, and they sounded okay, but it was just like, we're gonna have to post like what he used to look like. You guys don't know who I'm talking about, just hearing the name?
No, I don't know any. I don't know what any of them look like. Know. I know you their music, know. But
yeah, Amber, I feel like their music was in the OC. But also Julian Casablancas is on like that Daft Punk song, and like you would totally know him. But he used to be like kind of almost Tumblr emo-ish, like hot guy of that era, and now it's just like, I would not want to even talk to you for 1 second. I'm so frightened by you.
Yeah, honestly, I feel like a lot of rockers just get very like haggard. I don't know. Yeah. Life on the road.
Life on the road.
Complexion.
Yes. Well,
sorry. I
mean, no, I mean, I talk from personal experience because secondhand. Okay.
For the complexion.
I love secondhand embarrassment. I love secondhand cringe. And I've seen plenty of bands go up on stage and try so hard to have like that kind of banter chemistry that, you know, that you can tell they just want so bad. But, you know, it's like when I went to Flannel Fest and they had the Blink 180 True, you know, the Blink 182 tribute band.
Oh, wow.
your face. Sorry, no, your face. Shock. I mean, your face is how I felt on the inside, because you've just got these middle-aged dudes who just go up. And, you know, granted, you know, they really pull off that kind of whiny vibe that Blink 182 is famous for. I know that's a terrible way to say that, but I mean, it's true. And, you know, granted, I'll also be the first to admit that in my mind, Travis Barker is probably about the best part of Blink 182, so I don't know much about the, you know, like the dynamic between the guitarist and the bassist or what their onstage banter was like, but if it was anything like these guys, then I'm glad that I stayed well and away from Blink 182 and decided to like Green Day instead. But
I didn't know that was the two sides of life.
Two sides of my life. Two sides of my life when I was in fifth grade.
Okay. Dr. Blink and Mr. Wait, what was the other one?
I don't remember.
I'm trying to do a spin-off Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Oh, with Amber.
Blink 182 and It flopped.
Gosh. Wait, how old are you, Garrison? Sorry, the fifth grade. I was just like, oh, you're younger than us, maybe?
Yeah, he's younger.
29.
Oh, okay. Not by much. I was like, I feel like I was like 7th or 8th grade listening to American Idiot.
Yep, that was my 5th grade anthem. Well, because I literally just moved. So we moved from Kansas to Idaho.
One oasis to another.
One oasis to another. Oh, God. Yeah. One flat savanna to another.
Yeah.
And right around the time that album came out. So, you know, of course, I just moved. I had no friends. You know, there were hills everywhere, so I wasn't quite brave enough to ride my bike yet. And so I was just full of the angst. And then American Idiot came out, and I was able to channel all that angst.
I feel like my brother was more that genre, and I was more like Dashboard Confessional.
Oh, gosh.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that was more yes. what I was listening to. I mean, I would listen by proxy, I guess, because
yeah.
Adam was just cranking the tunes. Also, Angels and Airwaves. Do you remember that?
No. Of course.
It was like, was it Blink-182 singer?
Oh, I think you're right. There's some kind of connection there. Yeah, forget
there
that.
Was some connection. Yeah, there was some connection. Uh-huh. And anyway, my brother was like cranking it.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. While we were doing donuts in the parking lot when it snowed in the morning.
Doing what naughty Mormon kids do.
Oh, of course. Of course. Okay, seeing as we are a gossip podcast, I feel like we have to do our due diligence and bring up the Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce thing. I'm sorry.
Oh, God.
I know none of us want to talk about this, but I feel like we have to bring it up.
No, not none of us. I mean, I secretly do, but...
Wait a minute. Okay, you had told me that you listened to a podcast that he does.
New Heights, yeah.
New Heights.
Okay. This is weekly happening? Yeah, that's what I've been trying to figure out.
Yeah, is it current?
Is it current?
Or
yes.
did it... Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's still going on. I mean...
Okay. And it's him and his brother.
Does he talk about Taylor? Like, what's the deal with this?
Not really. They stay pretty private.
Okay.
I mean, especially as far as Taylor Swift relationships go... They stay really private.
Which
leads me to believe that maybe he won't become the subject of her next album. You know, who knows?
I think he's too boring. I think they're too boring to become the subject of anything. Well, literally, like people
Amber
are
looks angry.
Scraping the bottom of the barrel for news. It's like, they went on a trip together.
It's true.
They
that.
Were
it's
smiling
true.
After.
Yeah.
They like, held hands.
They went out to dinner. Yeah, mm-hmm. They held hands.
She did put his name inside one of her lyrics when she played.
Yes.
Yeah, but that was just to get those just for the crowd. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like
I heard rumors they're getting engaged. I heard rumors they're
You're
getting engaged.
I heard
me.
That too. I heard
no,
that too.
Even Garrison no heard.
I heard that
yes.
too. Even I heard this, Amber.
Rumors from who?
I don't know. I just read she wants an engagement by her birthday/Christmas. She's a December birthday, so they're kind of one and the same. I'm like, that's the worst idea I've ever heard. She hasn't healed from her 6-year relationship at all. She did the Maddie Healy thing and then now this. I'm like, girl, be alone. If we learned anything from Ariana Grande, who was like, oh, I met someone new. Her name is Ari. Like, we, da, da, da. She did that for 2 seconds, then jumped into a marriage. Now she's divorced. Now she's with the homewrecker. Her and the guy are the split up that marriage. It's like, girls,
yeah,
ladies.
No, I agree.
Stressed.
Get to know yourself.
It's just not going to work. Like, I'm sorry. I don't believe in this relationship.
Oh, neither do I. But I mean, it doesn't mean that I'm not here to see how long it lasts, though.
Yeah.
To bask in the glory of the chaos of it. I mean,
I guess. Yeah. Okay, you know what?
We don't have to talk about football or Travis Kelce for any longer than is absolutely necessary.
Well, okay, here's my thought. My opinion on this matter was summed up perfectly by Morgan Freeman.
Oh, really?
Because he apparently is a big Kansas City Chiefs fan.
Nice.
And someone was interviewing him and they're like, well, what do you think about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce? And he said, I don't think about them at all.
His face when he said it too, like it didn't even change. He wasn't being like cheeky. He was just like, I don't think it.
I need to be more like Morgan Freeman.
I mean, in this regard, I mean,
it's like when Ozzy Osbourne was asked what he thought about Justin Bieber, and his response was, "Who the fuck's Justin Bieber?"
Okay. Yes. I don't know. I mean, I know I brought it up, but I feel like our fans were waiting for us to bring it up. So there you go.
There you go.
Who's Taylor's new squeeze this
That's month. True. We haven't covered much of it. And I didn't get to go see the movie. I had my $25 ticket to it and I was sick. I hear it's converting a lot of non-believers into believers. The most recent one was like my friend's husband, who is just like staunchly against her. And then in the group chat this weekend, it was like, so, or like, what did you think? You know, a woman asked and he was like, she's really entertaining. She puts on a great show. I really liked it. I'm like, oh my gosh, okay.
I don't think
Amber is not sold.
I'm not sold.
I really wanted to see the movie. I want to see what the deal is.
This is a Taylor Swift movie?
Oh, Garrison, they took the Eras Tour concert and they filmed it and they made it into a movie that you can go to theaters to watch, but you have to pay
and sing and dance.
$19.89 because her album was $19.89. So the tickets are very expensive. That part's done. Wow.
With tax, it's $25.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money.
It's a lot of money, and it's just...
Well, it's a lot of money for a reference. I mean, it's like, hey, the album's called 1989, so you're going to pay $19.
But the thing is that she's like, oh, my fans will love this. My fans will love this. It's like, well, don't love paying those prices.
Okay, to be fair, I've seen how much they pay to go see her live. So, I mean, apparently they do love spending money, because holy crap.
Yeah, that's a drop in the bucket compared to the tickets that are up to thousands.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. I have a hard time with her. But it's fine. She's great. Whatever.
Oh.
She doesn't care about me or my opinion.
You have to say she's great if you don't like her. You don't have to.
I just feel like I will be canceled if I don't give some sort of positive feedback.
By who?
I don't know.
Not those who care about you.
Okay,
Amber.
Well,
not the ones who listen to this podcast.
Okay,
yeah, I need this podcast to have hot takes. I don't want you to censor yourself.
Okay.
Also, I did listen to the. So I don't know if Garrison knows this, but like she re-releases or she's releasing all her albums, right? That she's recording herself. Do you know this whole thing?
I heard about that. Okay. I do. This is one of the, see, this is it. It's like, kind of like your, so when I first came on here, I expected myself to be like pretty akin to your brother, like in his appearance on the podcast.
Yeah.
Whereas over time, the more we talk about things, the more I realize how much I've actually heard and all this.
But that happened to him too. Yeah.
And yes, exactly. And yes, I have heard about this. I heard that, it was the whole fiasco with her record producer, and she basically was just like, I mean, did she buy the rights to all of her music? Is that what she did? And then she's like re-releasing it, or what was the...
I think the re-record is the move instead of buying them back. There is someone that's bought them or something.
Yeah, I couldn't remember what all the nuance was there. But
yeah, I think the deal is she just re-recorded them, and then she's like, fans, you need to listen to my version.
Yeah, but I don't, because they don't sound as good.
They don't sound as good.
Sorry.
I know. I agree.
See, and I would be... Okay, so in your opinion, what makes them, I guess, subpar?
Well, she you know, there's like little adjustments, right? Yeah, yeah. And then she re-recorded her voice as well. So she's trying like new things, but I feel like it doesn't land. Like it just doesn't.
I haven't heard it, but I can respect that.
Like, yeah, I feel like it's akin to if you, there's a song on an album and you like love it and you've listened to it so many times, you've like memorized it. And then you go see the band live and the vocalist is bored from performing it so many times, so they like kind of noodle around a little bit, and you're like, I kind of just wanted to hear how you sounded on the album. Yeah. That's how I feel it is.
No, I agree with that, because you know your audience is expecting a certain experience, and you know you're getting paid millions of dollars to deliver that experience. So I agree. I mean, now granted, I think there's a difference though between like kind of just giving a song like a little bit of a, you know, instead of a, I'm doing a, you know, give it a little bit of difference there, and just kind of, I don't know. I mean, so like, did she like re-record her songs in a new kind of style, or is it pretty just kind of...
Not really.
Kind of a rehash of the old one?
The general consensus is this most recent one, the 1989, people really don't like, which when I read the comments, I was like, oh, this is going to sound terrible. Like someone said, it sounds like a karaoke version. Okay, people, it's not that bad. Like she says production value, a higher production value, but there is also this kind of magical, indescribable X factor that you can't go back and sing about the stuff in your life because it's already happened. And you're just kind of older and wiser. Yeah, it's not fresh. And so if you're doing, I'm 22, there is this thing that's not, you can't write it out or describe it, but it's in your
I'm 32.
Being. Yeah. Yeah. And just like, I don't know, it just, and I guess she's trying to enunciate more on these. And it's like, well, but we didn't need that back then. Just like sing it the way you do. So it sounds a little sterile to me at points because it's so like, maybe she listened and thought, oh, I slurred those words together or something, but it's too overthought out or something. It's not, it just loses that organic feel. And then, of course, there's like vault songs, so stuff she never released. And it's like, Okay, yeah. I have no emotional attachment to those. Did you write them back then? Did you write them now? I don't really get it.
Well, it's 100% a thing to, you know, like you said, be older and wiser and kind of look back on your past body of work and be like, oh my God, I was a dumbass.
Yeah.
I mean, I have that feeling multiple times because, I mean, you know, there were some bands that I was in that, you know, I can definitely look back and take solace that I'm older and wiser now. And, you know, older and wiser at the ripe old age of 29. But
I feel like she doesn't feel like she's older and wiser because not only is she rehashing all these old songs, she has an Eras tour where she's literally singing her entire repertoire. So I feel like she's like, everything was amazing. And granted, like, the fans, like, everyone does know every word to every single song. Like, they've withstood the test of time, so...
Because she gets paid to just stay in her early 20s. Not that that's a bad thing. And I'm not saying that Taylor Swift has bad songs. I mean, I will be the first one to guiltily or non-guiltily jam along to some T-Swift. I mean, I will do that in a heartbeat.
I mean, I do wonder what's next. Like, where do you go from here?
Yeah,
like,
where do you go from here? Where do you go from here?
Now, like, yeah, it's like the ultimate nostalgia trip. It's like, okay, can't do that again. Or can you? I don't know.
And she already did, like, folksy. She did that, like, three times.
I was, okay. No, seriously. I was just about to ask, because one thing I could be pretty partial to is, like, a T-Swift acoustic album. And if you say folksy, that sounds like it would probably scratch that itch. So I need to look into this, because I like her voice. I just don't like all the, you know, upbeatiness, poppiness that comes along with it. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know, I want to hear greedy. You know, I want to hear gritty T-Swift. I want to hear the T-Swift that is fresh off of a session of therapy, you know.
Well, I'm sure she would argue that's every single song, Garrison. Probably. I don't know what to tell you.
Not that going home and writing a song about your breakup isn't therapy.
Sure.
Maybe just misplaced therapy.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, I mean, I say misplaced, so... but you know, she's the millionaire, not me.
So. I know. That's, you know what? That's the thing. She doesn't need my loyalty my acceptance. She literally gets it from everyone else. Yeah. Also,
Not when her garage is the same size as my apartment.
Yeah. Although I do wonder if there's anything she could ever do to turn her fans against her.
I do wonder that.
Okay, so like I said, I will not talk about football for any longer than is absolutely necessary. I'm a football fan. I'm a football fan that absolutely hates
Amber,
football fans.
Okay.
But
Amber does the ugh. I know.
And she does it so well because she's practiced a lot when it comes to me talking about football or anything.
I don't know
else
a thing about it.
It's I mean, neither did I until about a year ago. But anyway, so I was very intrigued to see, you know, like when I was watching the game that T-Swift was in attendance to, just the amount of presence there was in the, just like, you know, like in the forums and everything of, you know, just the Swifties being like, why isn't Pat throwing Kelsey the ball? You know, why isn't Pat throwing Kelsey the ball? Because, you know, you've got all the Swifties being like, okay, you know, she's dating Travis Kelsey, so all of a sudden we're all fans of Travis Kelsey now. And, you know, kind of like what you guys talked about with the Jake Gyllenhaal and the scarf thing. It's like, you know, you've just got a bunch of people in the comments being like, he needs to throw the ball to Travis Kelsey.
Oh, so you're saying in the game it didn't make sense for them to do that.
Yeah, it doesn't even make sense.
But all the fans are just chiming in and they don't know anything.
No, I mean, it makes perfect sense. I mean, you should always throw the ball to Travis Kelsey.
Okay.
You should always throw the ball to Travis Kelsey. So, you know, me and the Swifties are in agreement on that.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Gotcha. Okay, so apparently Bradley Cooper is doing a kind of biopic on Leonard Bernstein. Do you know who that is?
I feel like I should.
Okay, he's like a conductor, okay. I guess.
Okay.
And it's called Maestro, the movie. Mm-hmm. But he claims he spent 6 years learning how to conduct 6 minutes and 21 seconds of music. Lauren, I know
what?
You
would...
That is method acting if ever I've heard it. That is committing to a role.
I mean, 6 years? What is also? I mean, okay. It's like, okay, 6 years on and off, like the occasional practice session.
It's gotta be that.
Mm-hmm. But he's been doing it like kind of on this, like as a side gig, you know, like as.
I mean,
side,
I guess, but it's like, yeah. I mean, but also, what has he been in he's in the past 6 years? I can't think of anything. Oh well, yeah. Guardians. I guess he voices.
He's been been on the stage. He did that Elephant Man thing. So okay. I thought he was shifting to Broadway.
Okay.
I know. Okay. I know how this podcast feels about Marvel movies. We don't count Marvel movies.
Well,
no. Okay. Sorry.
But he said that scene. I was so worried about because we did it live. That was the London Symphony Orchestra. It was recorded live. Mm-hmm. I had to conduct them. It's like, okay, Bradley. They know you're an actor. They know, they understand that you are not Leonard Bernstein. They know you are Bradley Cooper, an actor who does not normally conduct. Like, it's not like they're going to stand up and, like, take their rosin and, like,
like, or what do we do? They're like,
right. You're not conducting us properly. It's like, they honestly don't even need a conductor.
Amber and I spent our whole lives in orchestras. You actually don't super need the conductor. Like,
you don't need
They can step away, and if you're cohesive enough as a group, you've totally got it. So this is some kind of Oscar bait type, like, blip that they want him to say on talk shows or something, right? Like,
nice. 100%. Because, yeah.
It's a talking point.
It's just unreal. It's like, and he kept, it's live. It was live. It's like, Kate,
live.
SNL is live. They prepare in a week. less than a week.
It's this.
Exactly. And then I was like, okay, let me look up Kate Blanchett, because she did Tar, where she's a conductor.
Yeah.
I'm sure, I haven't counted the minutes she's conducting in that movie, but it's many minutes. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure, like, she was cast and she filmed them in, like, less than a year. You know?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
We're not... We don't need.
Or you could even
six
look at,
years.
Did you see Whiplash? J.K. Simmons.
Of course, it's a favorite.
Obviously.
I mean, not to say that everything is exactly, you know, like synchronized. I mean, because I just remember watching the drums in that movie, and I'm like, that is not what that drummer is playing.
Okay.
But as far as J.K. Simmons, though, I mean, not that I know the first thing about directing a jazz band. But, I mean, the way that he kind of, like, you know, like, kind of cue him in by just, like, flicking his hands, I'm like, I've seen that done before. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, obviously, this guy put in the work to kind of mm-hmm. know what the vibe was. And I remember you mentioned Tar to me, and mm-hmm. now there's this Bradley Cooper movie that I'm going to have to check out, because that sounds interesting.
Well, I don't know. Well, it better be the performance of a lifetime, okay? Yeah. 6 years?
That's so
Six
fake.
6 years.
It reminds me of this anecdote I heard about method acting. You guys don't ask me where I heard this, but it's like there's this young actor and he's doing crazy stuff like that. And, like, you know, his character's sleep deprived, so he's up all night and he's like chain smoking cigarettes and just like really destroying his body and soul or whatever. And this older actor goes and he like explains to the older actor. And the older actor says, "My dear boy, have you heard of acting?" Like, you don't have to do all this. Like, that's what we're doing.
Exactly. No, that's so okay, dumb. And that's reminding me of the Austin Butler Elvis.
Oh my!
You know, like
gosh.
Didn't see his family or whatever claim there was, and then Jacob Elordi's just like, oh, I only knew Elvis from Stitch. Apparently, he only knew Elvis from when Stitch on Lilo and Stitch.
Yep.
Like,
that
impersonated Elvis.
Ridiculous.
I mean, that's a pretty wholesome way to get introduced to Elvis, though.
Okay, but are you kidding?
Well, I mean.
Did you know who. Okay, growing up, did you know who Elvis was? Okay.
That question is insane. Okay. Is Gen Z that, like, disconnected from these, like, icons?
I don't know.
Here's the thing, man. I mean, kids are going to get introduced to things in weird ways. It's like when I was watching there's like this whole era of time when the only way that people were getting introduced to like songs that I would listen to, you know, like be it like classic rock or jazz or whatever, is they would watch the music, or you know, like they would watch the music video and they would react to it. Mm. But I mean, you know, it's weird, like incremental exposure, but it's still exposure, I guess. You know, it's like, you know, granted, they're playing it for like 10, 15 seconds, pausing and be like, all right, now I got to talk for a minute and a half about what I thought about this 10 seconds or 15 seconds that I just listened to. So, you know, I'm digesting the song, but I'm digesting this 3.5 minute song over the course of like 15 minutes. Well, nowadays, and I know you guys have talked about this as far as Beyonce's opinion of, you know, make a body of work, which I agree with. I agree with to a point, but these days, especially if you want to make it big in music,
yeah,
having a body of work is almost detrimental because you know it's more about focusing on the singles, you know, like you write a single, you go and you shoot a video for it, and then you pay a little bit of money to boost that video on YouTube, and that's how you gain exposure. It's funny though, you mentioned getting you know, just like being on the road and kind of getting ragged from that whole experience, because I've got a little bit of of experience of that, as far as like I think I went on a quote unquote tour, which means that I was gone for about a month and played about 10, 12 shows along that tour.
Yeah.
And that showed me very, very blatantly that I am not cut out for that life.
Really? Yeah. What do you mean?
People kind of have this aggrandized idea in their head about what it's like to go on a tour. And you know, it's like, oh, you know, we stop at all these cool locations along the way. And you're like, oh, it's going to be great. And we're going to make so many fun memories. It's like, dude, I saw so many gas station and Walmart parking lots.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was just lucky that I had an RV to sleep in. I mean, this was a fill-in spot that I had where I went on this quote-unquote tour, pseudo tour. And I was basically just like a backup drummer. You know, it's like in case our drummer, you know, gets sick or injured in some weird way, then Garrison's our backup guy. So I wasn't really even playing. I was just kind of along for the ride. But one way we kept ourselves busy through that entire experience was every day we were playing Dungeons and Dragons in the RV.
Okay, wow. Yeah. Nerd alert.
Nerd alert.
Amber!
Which is a great way to segue.
I play D&D, it's great.
Yeah, which is a great way to segue into what I also wanted to talk about, which is how nerd culture has kind of seeped its way into pop culture in some ways you might not really expect, Lauren.
I'm listening.
You know who, you know who Henry Cavill is.
Yes.
Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that he was almost late to his Superman audition because he was raiding in World of Warcraft?
Sips coffee.
Sips tea.
Yeah.
Sips tea.
Yeah.
Yep. Or that, you know who Joe Manganiello is?
That sounds familiar. Why can't I
sounds
please?
So
Magic
familiar.
Mike.
Oh, Magic Mike. Mike. Okay. Yep.
And the OGs know him as Flash Thompson from the first Sam Raimi Spider-Man movie.
I don't know.
But anyway, his wife is Gloria from Modern Family. Whatever that actress's name is.
Oh, yeah. I think they divorced.
Yeah, they
Did
got
they?
Divorced.
Oh,
yes.
Shit. I didn't know
they
that.
Have a rocky history that I knew would never work out.
Oh, it's recent? Oh,
yeah, it's very recent.
I wonder if she got sick of his nerd cave.
Well, I doubt that would bring up a marriage. If she went into it knowingly, I doubt that would break up a marriage. But okay,
I mean, I don't know what point of the relationship you say.
Stop.
Oh my god.
Why you shoot this World of Warcraft?
Yeah, I was just about to say. Why
wait, is that what you're playing? The back game.
Why you play so much Dungeons and Dragons?
None of us are good.
No, I cannot do that. I can do some accents, but I'm not going to go any further down that path.
Yeah.
But no, so there was like this whole, I think there was even a YouTube channel about it where Joe Manganiello would have all these like big name Hollywood actors like Will Ferrell, Vince Vaughn, Paul Rudd, Jason Segel, Jack Black. Like there was this whole laundry list of people who had gone and played D&D campaigns in Joe Manganiello's nerd cave. And it was hilarious watching some of these people interact with each other.
Okay, so they filmed it.
Yeah.
And it's on YouTube. Yeah.
Yes, it used to be. I don't know if it still is. Somewhere you can find these videos.
It's actually, no, it's not a bad idea, actually. Mm-hmm. I think, like, I'd watch that.
Yeah.
Because it's a good way to, like, see their creativity outside of, like, scripted roles. You know what I mean?
Well, it's like you've got Will Ferrell, who notoriously does unscripted roles. And it kind of gives him a chance to kind of flex that in a funny, nerdy way that you know, you wouldn't really get to otherwise see. It's a lot of fun. I mean, it's a bunch of actors. Honestly, it's kind of wholesome because you almost see like a bunch of actors kind of get to the root of what they loved about acting in the first place.
Yeah.
Which is just playing a role.
That's,
you know?
Cute.
Yeah, it is.
I
cute.
That. Even though I thought Jack Black drives you nuts, Amber. Wasn't that you telling me?
Oh, yeah, 100% he does.
Oh, okay. I'm picturing an invite getting mixed up between like Leonardo DiCaprio's poker group, like underground. sound super like high stakes, and the D&D and like Jack Black ends up there, and like I don't know who from his group ends up at the D&D, and they just have like the weirdest nights. It's like a body swap comedy. It just sounds like the other side of Hollywood.
Yeah.
The underground side of Hollywood. So again, like football, I will not talk about Warhammer 40K for more than...
Talk about what?
Any more than is absolute... Okay, yeah,
it's
see,
exactly.
It's
those models that you can paint. Have you
Warhammer,
seen
Warhammer 40,000 is a game that I play in my free time. And it's relevant because this has to do with Henry Cavill. It's the only reason I'm talking about it. Only reason I'm talking about
but
it.
But he will talk about it. Yeah. As long as he possibly can.
I will, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, you know, it's a game where you build models, you paint the models, and then you use the models to fight your friends and blah, blah. Anyway, and so Henry Cavill has been playing this game since he was like 10. And it's hilarious because sometimes it comes up in interviews and you can see the noticeable eye roll of some of his co-stars because he's been obsessed with this game for so long and his co-stars are just like, oh God, here he goes. Talking about 40K again. Here he goes. And but one of the interviews, it was actually pretty wholesome because one of his co-stars who, it was like, okay, so have you seen the Witcher series on Netflix?
Mm-mm.
You haven't? Okay. So you got Henry Cavill who plays The Witcher, and then you've got his kind of bard friend, the one who like follows him around and just sings songs to him. His name was I forget what his name in the show was. In the books, his name is Dandelion. I don't remember what his name in the show is. But anyway, so these two actors, they're in this interview promoting The Witcher, and all of a sudden they both realize that they both play 40K, but they didn't realize it, so they both just have this new layer that appears in their friendship, and it's just like whoa. But it's just funny to me to hear Henry just unabashedly bring up Warhammer 40,000 any chance he possibly can.
Warhammer 40,000. The name is throwing me off every time.
It's, yeah, I know. Oh, dude.
Right.
It's, so basically, I should specify. So Warhammer is like a fantasy universe. 40,000 just refers to like the year that happens.
I didn't know that. Yeah, I honestly think it's refreshing when actors have something. Like I feel like he shouldn't be ashamed.
I feel like he should be like let your freak flag fly.
Well, honestly, like actors can be kind of boring. Well, okay. I just feel like they spend so much of their time.
To the contrary.
Well, yeah. They spend so much of their time like trying to make it and like going to these auditions and all this stuff that they don't really have time for hobbies, maybe is what I'm saying.
True.
And so it's like I have a hard time like seeing who they are as a person. So I really like that Henry plays this because it's like, oh, thank goodness. It's like something else.
Yes.
But this was so fun. Thank you so much for coming on the pod.
I wanted to say thank you for representing a very unique and small demographic of ours, which is straight male. There's not a lot of straight male listeners. I really feel honored by it. I mean, we had Jesse on.
I wasn't going to say a damn thing, but I'm glad it wasn't me that said it.
No, we are honored. And we're honored to have you as a valiant listener.
You know, it's I liked all the guests for different reasons, but Logan's just whimsy and the way that he handled his entire appearance on that episode was amazing. And I'm like, dude, if I can just emulate half of that energy, then
oh,
I
these
am
people
so
need
down
to meet. Logan plays and bass, so we should all have a jam sesh. That would be so fun.
Then we are a literal rhythm section.
Oh,
I mean, he plays
absolutely.
Bass. I play drums.
Amber's on vocals. I'll do backups and keys. Good.
Amazing.
He's in a small town where there's no one to form a band with, so it would literally be magic if that could happen somehow someday. I don't know if we come to you or you come to us, but
you know, it's funny. So I'll just say one more thing. I was asked by this person a while ago because I was in this cover band. It was a real toxic situation, and I've told you about this.
Mm-hmm.
And there were 7 vocalists in this band. No band needs 7 vocalists.
No, yeah, I was like, that's 6 too many.
Yeah. Yeah, and one of these vocalists comes to me because I mean the band manager slash director slash, you know, token boomer, was just really getting on her nerves that night. And she's just like, Garrison, you've been doing this for a while. Like, how do I start my own band? I'm just like, I don't know. I've been so lucky to have a core group of people that I've been able to play with for like 15 years. Because I mean, so my guitarist, Riley, we've known each other for about 15, 16 years. We've basically known each other for as long as we've been playing our instruments.
Yeah.
Because we both kind of picked them up around junior high. And so it's like, yeah, the whole small town issue of finding people to play with, it's like, I can empathize, because plenty of my friends that I've made here locally have the exact same problem, right? It's like, I just can't find anyone that doesn't sketch me out or, you know, is like at my level of musicianship.
Sketch me out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, Facebook Marketplace is
Yeah, you don't want to see who answers a Craigslist ad for a band. Yeah. You don't want to see those answers.
Oh, yeah. Anyway. No, this was fun. Oh, by the way, Skylar has the best laugh in the world.
Skylar?
Skylar has the best laugh in the world.
Yeah, obviously.
He has it, yes.
It's infectious.
It is infectious.
Yeah.
Every time I heard it, I'm just like, I just smile every time you laugh, dude.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah. So complimentary of past guests.
Yeah.
I love this. Yeah. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Garrison.
Nice to meet you, Lauren.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.